I ain't seen a beating like that since somebody stuck a banana in my pants and turned a monkey loose.
And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Peekaboo, you fucks, you.
I see you, you motherfucker.
Do you want to talk, or do you want to bet?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen emails.
Counting cards is a foolproof system.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal, it's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal too.
Yeah, maybe after 9/11 where everybody gets so sensitive. Thanks a lot, Bin Laden.
If we can make it work how I am. It's like when I grew up in Montana, I had a fucking rock and a stick. I shit you not. Fucking no toys or nothing, you know?
Alrighty, huh? Let's
you good?
Do this.
Yeah. Alright, awesome, awesome. Hey, everybody. So, welcome to Vegas Confessions. I'm Shane.
This is Julian. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode.
Yeah, so this is actually episode 3.0, I think. Which, goddamn, you know, I can't believe it's... Oh, it feels like yesterday we started this whole thing. It's crazy.
That's right. I'm going to talk some Vegas. I'm excited.
Exactly. So, yeah, for everybody, we're getting back into our format now a little bit. And then we're going to go into, you know, just basically what we talked about before. You know, we covered the Zork Fest, and, you know, we've got another event coming up that Julian and I will talk about that we'll kind of do shout-outs when we get to that. I'll start with the shout-outs a little bit. First of all, we still have Zorkfest stuff. Okay, we still have some interviews and some clips and some tidbits and things like that. So, you know, being that you guys are so patient listening for, you know, the two prior and then the post, what we're going to do, and I just stating it now so you kind of know what's going on, we're going to go ahead and we'll have those towards the end of the podcast. So we'll do a regular format, and then you'll hear like some bumper music kind of rolling out when we're saying cheers. And then we're going to throw an interview that we have, small little clips like towards the end. You know, if you want to listen to it, great, it's there. If you don't, you know, don't worry about it. No big
deal.
And
I will tell you guys, they're really neat. They got some confessions. They got some good stories in there. They got a little of everything. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's cool. It's well worth listening, but we just want to kind of format it that way. So for you new listeners or maybe the guys that, you know, didn't have a chance to go to Zorkfest, you're not inundated with that stuff, and we can kind of get back to what we're going on. So as far as shout-outs and stuff on my side, you know, again, we're coming back from Zorkfest and doing that. I think the shout-outs I've got is going to be our next little adventure that we're setting up for is going to be Super Bowl weekend. I know Julian's been posting, but it's the Ocean's XL adventure. It's going to be good. I think, what, Julian, we've got 30 people now, kind of?
We officially have 30 people in the chat.
That's
now.
Crazy.
The thread on Twitter, I believe, is hashtag Ocean's14XLSB. Everything's starting to change. People are starting to commit, and as they're popping up on Twitter saying, hey, I'm gonna be in Super Bowl, or I'm gonna be in Vegas Super Bowl weekend, it's like, hey, would you like to be a part of the group? And they're like, wait, there's gonna be a group? And they're all excited, and everybody's
I love it when they ask that.
Some people know each other already randomly. It's just pretty neat. So it's gonna be another great event. It's exciting to see these people want to come out and hang out.
Yeah, definitely. No. Yeah, and I can't wait to be part of it, too. I might have some big news on my professional side for work. I don't know if it's going to come through or not. If it does, it'll make that Super Bowl weekend a lot more sweeter. But I do know, I think we're flying in Friday. We're leaving Monday on our side. So, yeah.
We'll be getting in Friday, maybe Friday morning. We'll leave Tuesday morning. So we'll be there the whole weekend and a little bit more.
Gotcha. Cool. All right, man. Well, hey, what do you got on your side, bud?
On my side, again, I want to give a shout out to everybody from the Ocean's XL14 group. Again, a lot of people we went to Vegas with in October. We witnessed the $1 million jackpot. We had a great time. And then also I want to give a big shout out to the whole Travels Org team. Again, man, that Zork Fest was a blast. I mean, I'm putting the videos together right now, one for them, one for myself, and I'm having a ball doing this, and it's taken so long because there's so much great footage, Shane. You wouldn't even believe, man. There's one where I'm walking up an escalator, or I'm going up the escalator, you're going down, and I'm talking to the camera, and I look over, you and your wife are coming down, and I'm like, hey, I start talking to you, and I'm like getting to the top of the escalator, realizing I'm still recording. I'm like, fucking Shane, you messed up my video, jerk.
I think what it was like, sir, you fucked my video up.
There's so many little parts like that. It's so just funny. So funny, and I'm excited to put together. But again, everybody, let's not forget to mention all the Las Vegas podcasts that we, you know, are so fond of. We love you guys. We're a big family. And again, we invite everybody out to Super Bowl week in Vegas. We're going to be having an even bigger event in May, but right now we're focused on February 4th, and that weekend we're going to be having a great time. So you guys, if you get the chance, definitely come hang out with us.
Yeah, no, man, it's going to be a blast. That's cool. So, you know, hopefully it'll be a good time of year. We actually broke a record here in Spokane, Washington. We got like 6 inches of, 7 inches of snow in like one night. So, yay, I would love to get somewhere where there's no snow. So, that'll be great. No, fucking fantastic.
I know. You showed me that picture when you sent it to me. I was like, damn, I kind of feel bad. You said I got to shovel snow. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. That new car, that little Mitsubishi Mirage, that thing, it gets around the snow better than any 4x4 I've ever had. Blows my absolute mind.
Nice.
I see the SUVs, all the Cadillac Escalades stuck in the ditch, and I'm just kind of vroom right by everybody. It's hilarious. One thing, too, I'll mention before we roll into our segments and what we're doing. And it was an idea that we had. I haven't really quite pieced it together, but, you know, we talked about really not doing as much highlights on the podcast as far as, you know, this is opening up and this is closing, this is happening type thing. But some of the bigger spectrum things that are going on. There are some good, actually awesome articles. A friend of ours off Vital Vegas, Scott, wrote a great article on the North Strip expansion and kind of what that looks like for, you know, in the next 2 to 5 years. You know, like where... How is that going to blow up, and how is that going to affect, obviously, Vegas and the build and everything going on? So we're going to kind of put together a prediction-type thing where people can write in, or they can social media us or whatever, you know, way they want to, on what they think. You know, it's going to be, hey, I think Steve Wynn's going to do this with the Alon property, or I think the other properties being built, you know, what's going to happen with them. And we're going to kind of talk to Scott about that too. But that's kind of what we're going to do for sort of a running segment. So feel free to write. You can write us in at VegasConfessionsPod@gmail.com. And we're also on Twitter as well, Twitter at Vegas Confessions Podcast. And we have a Facebook page also, so we'll cover some of that towards the end. But you know, there's multiple ways, and we usually throw our Twitter handles out there too, so you can get a hold of us directly if you want to. But that's something that we kind of want to run.
You're
into.
Right, man. There's going to be so much. You know, Scott was talking about the new renovations that are going to be done to the northern end of the Strip, and now they sold that section of the property. Like, he has so many options on the table now that he can do and go with. You know what I mean? So
he can.
And he's already kind of doing things erratically and on the moment. So the golf course is going to be cleared out, apparently. There's a water park coming in. So, I mean,
yeah, I'm wondering,
there's been
about
a lot of
that.
Things talked about.
Yeah, he's still relevant, I think, Steve Wynn, to what he wants to do. Although I did hear an article yesterday morning that they're actually going to, what's the word for it, that property they bought at A-Line, it might be, people are suspecting that it's going to be warehoused. So, you know, maybe he'll sit on it and not do anything. I hope not. You know, I hope that he kind of changes his tune and sees other construction going on and makes something work, you know, around Fountain Blue and all that other stuff. So, you know, we'll see.
And that's in that gap, too, in between, you know, the Strip and downtown. And that'll kind of, you know, draw some more attention that way. Something gets built nice there, put to draw more attention. Guess what? That's only going to attract people that way. And if they continue, they end up downtown. So it's pretty neat.
Well, not only that, but shit, you know, hey, it gives me a reason to go to Circus Circus, my favorite fucking casino in all of Vegas. I'm totally joking. That is not my favorite casino.
I was just going to say, dude, I've never made it there. And I've never heard you say that. What the fuck?
We did last time, and it is awful. It's a cash cow. That's all it is. It's a cash cow for them. You know, they don't have to put any work into it, any repair into it, you know, people just keep coming because it's cheap and it's good for the kids and the adults can go gamble, and it's just kind of a shithole, but it's got history and I love history, so you know, it's one of those things.
That was a place they said had animals in it in the past, right?
Yeah, that actually the same guy that took over Caesar's, Jay Cerno, he actually opened that up, and had originally, when it opened, you couldn't, there was no way to get in other than a slippy slide going into the front that slid you down into the casino floor, and they had some elephant that would wander around down there. I don't know, I haven't finished the book yet, but it's fucking crazy. So
wow, people's thought process back then, you know, even with like some of the casinos, the lions were right in the walkway and people wouldn't, you know, go under them and just
not even worry about it. Yeah.
Just ideas people throw out there, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, you know, Vegas, that's what it is, keeps reinventing and reinventing. So here we're gonna set up Chef Julian for
Let's Talk Some Food.
Awesome, guys. We're coming back with another food review. Last food review from Atlantic City, the last night before we headed out. So the place we went to, this place was called Olan. And it was a mixture of Mexican and fresh seafood type deal. And it was one of those experiences where they like you to share, you know, and try everything with the people next to you. And again, I'm not a huge fan of that, not just because I don't know most of the people at the table, but just because I want to try it, you know, and really taste it. And whether it be a big or small portion, I'm going to enjoy it, especially if I'm paying a lot of money. But again, huge shout out to the whole Travels Org team. This whole meal was comped on him, and he took care of it. It was pretty cool because we all pitched in and tipped the waiter like $200, which she was super impressed and super wowed by. But I mean, it was such a cool experience. This stuff was all fresh seafood. The beginning appetizer was a tower of seafood. It had about three layers, and there was everything from scallops to shrimps.
Wait a minute. Did you say a tower of seafood? You don't hear that often.
Yeah, it was interesting. And, of course, everything's fresh right there on the ocean. And, it's neat because, I mean, like I said, shrimp. Clams, I mean, you name it, freaking everything you can imagine was on this thing. And my wife was just staring at that dish like she was gonna throw up, you know. She doesn't like any of that, and I purposely got her a little of everything.
Oh, she's not a seafood fan?
Oh, hell no, dude. She sticks to like the stuff she likes, you know. She doesn't like to try anything out of the blue. So, but again, when I was looking at this stuff, I was like, oh, I'll try it out. And you know, it wasn't too bad. I tried, you know, some of the shrimp and some of the scallops and stuff, and it was really, really, really fresh, obviously, but just, you know, tasty with some of the mixes of juices and sauces they had there, and, you know, lemon and some of the cocktail sauce and just a little of everything. And it was a pretty great experience. But we actually ordered some steaks. A couple people ordered some ribeye and shrimps. A couple people had some of the they actually ordered more, which was actually really neat. It was like a chips and a guacamole that had lobster in it, I believe.
Really?
And so, yeah, it was actually really fucking tasty. So this guacamole just had like chunks of lobster, and it was really, really good. So that you have these chips, and you're tearing up on this stuff. And by the time we got our food, you know, I was kind of getting full already. But yeah, we had some steaks, and it was a little funny story because when we got our steaks, I think I had a New York steak, and then somebody else had the ribeye steak. Well, when they brought the steak out initially, they put the wrong one in front of, I believe it was David and Amanda. And that was my steak, apparently. And so they had, like, started halving that steak. And then they gave me a piece. And they're like, well, when we get our steak, we'll give you some more of that.
It
was funny. But, again, so I got to try the ribeye and the New York. Everything was lean. Everything was nicely seasoned. You know, the service was just on point, you know. Anything we wanted, wine, you know, you name it. Anything we needed. The service was just really on point. And, you know, I know most of my food reviews are all great, but again, it's really hard to have a bad experience when you're with a great group of people. And dude, the food, again, fresh right off the freaking ocean side. I mean,
see,
you can't
go
wrong.
Nice, dude. I miss living in Seattle for that, because it was like, you can go down to like Joe's Crab Shack right on the pier. And something to be said about fresh seafood.
And again, I'm not always a fresh seafood eater. I don't always go, and I don't do, you know, the clams and all that all the time. Again, oysters, I don't do all that. So, you know, trying it for every once in a while and having something good makes you, you know, intrigued and trying something else again, maybe something new, a different type of fish or whatever it may be. So, again, the service side of everything, and it was pretty neat. We posted a couple pictures from the Olan restaurant.
I saw that. Yeah, that was cool.
And they actually retweeted everything and liked their picture. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty neat.
There
like,
you just go. Paying attention.
I was like, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
One of these days, you will have a bad food review. Hopefully, I'm here to hear it. You know, we'll see. It might have to be like a White Castle review, really, to turn your, I don't know. We'll see which one.
And I've been eager to try White Castle.
You have mentioned several times over. I don't know why.
Yeah, a couple people are like, Jay, what the hell are you talking about? I said, I just
fucking, you're supposed to be a chef, Julian. What the fuck? White Castle.
Yeah. Pick up your standards, motherfucker.
Yeah. No shit. That's cool, man. Well, awesome, dude. Yeah, I missed out on that, but that's sounds like it was a cool experience. That's awesome. Hopefully we, I know that there's somebody in our chat group that kind of put together, took his time to do it, Epic, to actually put together an awesome kind of a breakdown of doing brunch and cocktails and a lot of places I haven't tried. I was going to throw out, Harris has a oyster house that sits in the back. And, you know, and it's good seafood. They make everything there from scratch. But again, you're eating seafood in Vegas. So, you know, how fresh can that be? You know, I liked it. But after seeing all the choices that Epic put together, I was like, maybe I'll shut my mouth and we'll do other things here.
Well, yeah, so he had a really good list. And it was all on the fly. And it was people's recommendation. And, you know, like I said, it's pretty neat how people are starting to get together and they're starting to ask, hey, what do you guys like? You guys vote. And so, and I just keep mentioning every time they start to do votes. I'm like, you know, Jay just follows the group. I don't give a shit where we go. I'm just going.
I threw a couple of recommendations. One of them actually because of Atomic. You know, I tried to sneak you down there when we were in Vegas. Right. And, you know, it looks like it's on the list. So, you know, hopefully you enjoy it, man. That's one of my faves down there. So
is there, I know we're going to get off subject.
No, that's fine.
But is there... You know, we got Super Bowl trip coming up. Is there anything you're looking forward to? You know, I know our wives are going and shit, but is there something you're looking forward to doing?
You know, usually what I do, it might be different on this one. You know, I try to, I'm a casino junkie, just not even for playing, but I love seeing the properties. You know, this last trip where I met you, I went to Rio, went to Palms, and those were their off the strip kind of. I just like seeing these properties. I kind of played with, I was going to talk to you about it. You know, if we break off maybe for a couple hours one day, you can take shuttles up to like Sam's Town or something that's off on Boulder Highway. And it's a casino, but it's not like a strip casino. These things that, you know, you see out and about. That's kind of what I like doing. Other than that, there's one thing that I do want to get to because it's my other love, which, you know, there's a... again, you know, I mentioned before there's a podcast called Ice Cream Social where they're in Vegas. Right. They don't necessarily talk about Vegas-y stuff, but they're in Vegas and they're managers of shows or they work in shows or they're impromptu. The ones that Julie and I checked out, if you guys remember a few episodes back, we talked about our initial trip. They actually, one of those guys used to work at a place, it's called the Haunted Museum, and it's off the strip, but it's the guy has, and I again, it could be, it's one of those things, but the guy has these, you know, items and objects, and they're all set up to, it's supposed to be a really unique experience as far as walking through. Fairly easy to get to off the strip. I was going to mention that to you and see if you want to do that. That's something that I'd like to go to, you know, maybe just when the sun starts going down, it starts getting, before we get too fucked and, you know, we're doing other shit. Those and things.
I know time's going to fly by, but even the last trip when we went in October, I told some of the guys, hey, I know Chris from Faces and Aces was pretty excited because I told him, hey, you want to jump off the stratosphere?
Oh,
I know
there's some roller coasters
and shit up there, but I really want to jump off the stratosphere. I've done skydiving, but this would be neat. It's kind of like a free fall. So, and again, I'm inviting anybody that's coming out. There's a couple people that said they're interested in jumping off it. And, you know, one of the options I put was jumping off the stratosphere and maybe even doing like a high limit blackjack play. You know, some people are interested. We'll see what happens. But again, we were thinking about the high limit slot pool, but that we just got brutalized the last trip. So maybe we do something different, switch up our game plan.
Dude, I'll tell you, if you do it, I'll do it. I know Saul off Las Vegas Junkies, you know, he posted something on there about, I was like, yeah, fuck that. I broke my back in two places falling off buildings. My dad used to say, anybody that jumps out of a perfectly good airplane is crazy. I kind of feel the same when you're jumping off the side of a building. But if you take the jump and do it, I guess I gotta do it too because Saul says, "Well, you guys are a team.
We're doing it."
Okay. Well, there you go. That's that. That just made my night shitty. That's awesome. Thanks, man.
No worries. I didn't mean to put any pressure on you or bring you sidetracked.
No, not at all.
I wanted to make sure I put that out there. We're jumping.
Oh Jesus. Yeah, it'll be okay. Well, Yeah, you'll smell me all the way down because I'll probably shit my pants. But anyway, yeah, it should be fun. We'll see what happens. Awesome, dude. Thanks for the food review. Next is going to be...
Hello.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have a confession.
Go on.
Go on.
I've kind of sin cityed.
So, yeah, we got a couple Vegas confessions, actually. We recorded in AC. We're going to go ahead and throw those up next. Obviously, that's kind of the reason of the name of this podcast again. They're really short, but they're funny. They both have something kind of that they talk about together as far as the content is. So we're going to play those real quick, and hope you guys enjoy.
The one, she's got that little accent from White Men Can't Jump.
Oh my God! Rosie Perez. I love no. Yes, Rosie Perez.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yes. there was a prostitute at Revel, and I'm playing dice, and I'm into my dice or whatever. And she comes over, and I've got a lot of chips on the rail, and I'm playing. And she comes over, she goes, "Hey, honey, you know I love to fuck." I'm like, "That's great," but I'm in the middle of a dice game. But Party. I figured that was the most. Party, I thought that was. I thought maybe that was like the most direct prostitute approach. You know, just you know, she just cut to the chase right there. You know, that's
right. So I got this thing on how you can tell that there's a hooker in Las Vegas when a woman's a hooker in Las Vegas, and it's very simple. That she talks to you. You're at a blackjack table.
Sure, sure. And she's not your wife.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know her. She talks to you. It's a hooker because, as we say, you know.
All right, awesome. So thank you again for the input. Again, these were from Zorkfest.
Nice,
Michael
nice.
And everybody and you know what they input in. Hopefully we get more. We have a phone that we'll throw. In fact, I don't know if you have that on you, Julian. If not, we can throw it towards the end. We'll just remind people the phone number. You know, you can call in the hotline and say, hey, you can leave your story. Doesn't have to be dirty. Doesn't have to be clean. Doesn't have to be, you know, it really doesn't matter. We just want to get input from you guys. Again, we say it, this podcast is kind of interactive. And we want to make it that way. You know, it's not us just shooting the shit. We want to make sure we bring people into the same love and the same group that we have.
Right, so. Guys. And that number he was talking about is area code 559-461-7488, and do not hesitate to call us and leave a good story. We're always about stories.
No, yeah, and both of us now, you know, we take our recorders with us wherever we go, and you'd be surprised some of the stories that we hear and some of the stories that I can't edit to make it even remotely decent. So
really especially depends. When drinks are involved.
Exactly. But yeah, feel free, guys. We'd love to hear from you. So we're going to go ahead and we're talk about this now. Thanks for Vegas history. Awesome. So, you know, again, we wanted to cover as we go with episodes. Now, what's happening now, you know, our original idea was to go as episodes go, we go, okay, the first casino, second casino type thing. Now it gets the convolution, you know, of what casinos came up. Literally, some opened the same day, yada, yada, yada type thing. So we're just going to kind of pick and hit, but we're still going to try to do, you know, downtown versus strip. We're going to pick one of each. And this one, on this episode... This is one that I actually never really heard of, but after you start kind of digging in, you find out that it actually was a pretty renowned casino / hotel, fairly good sizes. As we kind of read through some of the history and what's going on, you'll find out. And actually, that's the Meadows Club that was downtown. Julian, if you want to kick it off.
The Meadows Club applied for a license on May 1st of 1931 to run the following tables. Two craps tables, two roulette tables, two blackjack tables, and two poker tables. One English hazard game, one big six wheel, and a five slot machines. And again, these are some very interesting games. Shane told me, hey, have you ever heard of the English hazard?
Didn't want to sound stupid, but I never heard of
it. It really does. And it was interesting because when I was reading up on this stuff today, I learned a lot. I did not know some of these things, and it was pretty cool because this game basically created craps.
And oh, no shit.
Yeah, this game has been played since the 13th centuries, and it was very popular in Europe. And so because the game was so confusing, they eventually came up with the game of craps, which was a lot easier. So basically,
still confusing.
The breakdown of the game is two people are playing, and basically, a person that's going to be the shooter is going to be, or called the caster in this case, is going to pick a number from 5 through 9. They pick that number and they shoot the dice, while the other person's going to either play with them or play against them. And in craps, when you play against the shooter, it's called playing the don't. While in English hazard game, it's called being a chicken or playing chicken. So it's pretty funny. So what happens is this player, if he picks his number, let's say he picks 8. Well, if he rolls the dice and he doesn't hit the 8, essentially he loses. Well, he gets 3 chances, and these chances are numbers 4 through 10. So if he gets the 4 through 10, he gets to roll again, a total of 3 times to hit his number. If he doesn't hit it the first, obviously he's losing. So depending on how the person's betting on the other side of the table, that's what happens. You either lose against him or win with him. So it's very interesting. Well, if you get a 2 or 3, 11 or 12, nothing happens essentially. So this game started getting convoluted, and they eventually came up with an easier version, which was craps. So again, this game has been played since the 13th century, and it was big in Europe, and big players came out, and this game started to grow out here in Vegas. And it was really interesting, and I'd never heard of it until we looked this stuff up. So, you know, we're getting 2 good things from this freaking podcast. We're getting a little knowledge dropped on us at the same time having to do some work. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, no shit. And, this is the first time I ever heard of English Hazard. And you know, obviously it's not around now, I don't believe. Or wouldn't it be kind of cool to bring it back or try to do something? I don't know. I mean, craps alone, again, I know, you know, Julian tried to teach me how to make it work. But craps, again, if you're not really on your toes and you don't play it often, it does get confusing. You can lose track of what you're doing. You know, wait, what's 7 mean? If I roll it here, I lose. If I roll it here, you know, there's a lot of things kind of with that. But this English Hazard thing is way above whatever that has to be. That's crazy, man. Dude, thanks. Thanks for the
footwork on that shit. When I was reading this, I was like, are you kidding me? This is fucking crap. And it really was. And to find out that this game got too much of a headache. And apparently it was a lot funner when it's played in groups. People still play it. And that's kind of how, essentially, I guess, street craps are played.
Right. But, yeah, I see.
Yeah, the other interesting game was called the Big Wheel. And there's been plenty of names for the Big Wheel. It goes by Big Six, Big Wheel of Fortune, the Money Wheel, the Big Wheel, and also the Lucky Wheel. However, the name is very attracting, but always it's usually in the front of a casino when you walk in, and there's always somebody pretty attractive, you know, nice-looking woman to get you to draw you to the table. Well, this game is pretty self-explanatory. A few different bets, and basically I've seen at most places they use like a dollar bill format, so you can bet the 1, the 2, the 5, the 10, the 20. And depending on your bet, that's your payout. So if you're betting $1 on a $1, you're going to win $1. If you're betting $5 on the $5, you're going to get paid 5 to 1. So it's in 10 to 1, 20 to 1. But, you know, it's also one of the worst games as far as the house's edge. And so when I see these games, I kind of laugh because I've heard in a few different podcasts and I've watched some videos on YouTube as far as odds and stuff. The Big Wheel is one of the worst bets in the house. It has up to a 24% advantage depending on what you're betting.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's one of the worst bets in the house. So, again, you know, there's different variations of this game. It differs from Vegas to Macau to AC to Charleston, West Virginia, and Australia. So, again, there's plenty of different ways that inversions all around the world. But again, it's still one of the worst freaking games. And even like when we went to Atlantic City this week, the one at Bally's and the one at Wild Wild West and the one at Caesars all had people sitting on them the whole time. And I'm sitting there scratching my head.
That's
like,
weird.
God. Yeah, it's just interesting. Huh. Yeah,
it is. It's you know, and then it's still around, and it's that high of a house percentage. I don't get that. So that's awesome. Yeah, those were the two that I wasn't familiar with, you know, along with what the Meadows Club opened up with. So built for $31,000. The name of the club was actually named after the English translation of Las Vegas, which some of you may or may not know. It actually, which means Meadows. That's what Las Vegas means in Spanish. The Meadows opened their doors on May 2nd, 1931, on the corner of Charleston Boulevard and Fremont Street, which now it's, you know, technically it was on Fremont Street, but not necessarily what we know of as downtown Fremont. It's further up towards where the freeways exit and enter type thing, but it was still kind of on that thing. It was one of the first seven casinos in Vegas that actually opened. Most of the clubs and casinos were running at that time were kind of like tavern-like properties. They didn't really do much as far as extravagance. They just wanted to get open, get the doors open, and get money made. This is the first one that actually stepped up to where it was a resort. Fancier establishment. You know, it had the casino, had the hotel, it had showgirls, it had your entertainment going on. It competed with, actually 10 years prior, to what the El Rancho and what the Flamingo eventually would be and all those other ones. So it was kind of a high-end thing for downtown and what was going on. And actually it was built right on the Boulder Highway, which goes into Vegas. At the time, the whole the Hoover Dam was being built. So, you know, they were in a prime spot where people could drive in. And first thing they would see would be the Meadows, you know, so they would stop and make money and go from there.
The owners were the Cordero brothers, which also included Tony Cornett, who has his mark on Vegas more than once. The property included a 50-room hotel plus casino, but the casino burned down in 1935, and the Cornero brothers sold it. And new owners rebuilt and opened it, but due to new Nevada laws that restricted dancers in a place that served alcohol, it never regained its footing. It was closed in 1942 after turning into a seedy place with whores.
Whores.
Yeah. And whores being the main guest.
Yeah. So a little tidbit on this, too. Again, sad. It kind of, you know, after everything, the snowball rolled downhill way too fast for this property. But the tidbit is, so the original owners of the Minnows, Julian mentioned Tony Cornero. He actually would come back to Vegas and open the SS Rex, which was actually the bottom half of the Apache Hotel, which I think we'll get into here in a couple episodes out. Was one of the staples of downtown kind of in that time. And then he decided he was going to move on to build a bigger, better casino called the Stardust. So he was actually part of that. The funny thing was, ironically, he died while playing craps at the Desert Inn, which rumor has it he actually was poisoned because of all the kind of goings-ons and handshakings while the Stardust was being built. And the rumor has it they just kind of want to get rid of him. I don't know if that necessarily is the case. But anyway, he died before he could actually see it open. But you know, there's another whole rabbit hole with what he did as far as Tony Cornero. He was into a little bit of everything. He was a bootlegger. He ran floating gambling boats in California that were shut down. Actually, one of them was called the SS Rex. Might explain why he moved to downtown and did that other thing. All kinds of notorious stuff that just, you know, and he ran with other cohorts too that we'll kind of delve into on this timeline. Now we're in the 40s, 50s, 60s type thing with the mob and such and such. So if you guys want to hear more towards individuals, not necessarily casinos, email us. You know, again, VegasConfessionsPod@gmail.com. Let us know. I'd be more than happy to do the research and throw that out there. So
there's so many crazy stories out there about these guys.
It gets so fucking convoluted. It makes my head spin. Yeah. It is amazing.
Okay. So the Flamingo. This is kind of a misconstrued story. A lot of people are led to believe that the notorious mafia guy, Bugsy Siegel, was one to have the idea and build and open the Flamingo. That's actually not the whole truth. So in true Vegas fashion, here's the real story on how the mafia wedges their way into situations and bullshits of going-ons in Vegas. In 1945, Billy Wilkerson, one of the owners of the famous Hollywood Reporter tabloid and several Sunset Strip clubs in California, bought 33 acres to build his vision, a resort-style casino bigger and better than El Rancho or anything downtown.
Yeah, so he went ahead and he went out and did a $600,000 loan from the bank. He actually borrowed around $200,000. Actually, that price is, it fluctuates depending on where you read. But he did borrow from his buddy Howard Hughes, which we talked briefly about last episode, or last real episode, about how knucking fucks that guy is. But he knew him from the whole L.A. scene, so he was friends with Howard Hughes. So he borrowed this stuff to start to build, but you know, it wasn't enough to do anything. I think $1.2-1.4 million is what it ended up for the ending cost of the Flamingo. So he's short. He didn't help that he was a gambler. So, you know, there's times that he literally would take, hey, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to double it so I can build this. And he'd lose $200,000 in the casino. So he made arrangements with a group of silent investors, which he kind of didn't know, which again brings us into some of these henchmen and everything for Vegas. Well, one of the people that in that silent investment group was actually Bugsy, which was Ben Siegel. They kind of already had their foot in Vegas and what was up. So this gave them a kind of a smooth way to go right into the Flamingo, kind of take over the build and put their name on something.
Right. And because this story can get pretty fucking lengthy, Bugsy basically took over the plans to build the Flamingo and squeeze Billy right out the door and forced him to become the shareholder only. Costs ran huge as he kept trying to convince his mob buddies to bankroll. Shit like buying and ordering materials for the construction, only to have the same people steal the materials back in the middle of the night. Shady. Bugsy was in such a rush to open and try to gain back some money that he opened on December 26, 1946, with 105 rooms that were not complete. As well as all the casino itself not having finished touches needed, the opening was a fucking flop. The casino lost $300,000 to gamblers in the first 2 weeks.
Could you fucking imagine? That's what greed gets you, though.
That's
you
a know? Lot of money.
That's a lot of fucking money. Fuck. Exactly. So he ended up reopening later on. So after finishing the hotel, getting everything done, they reopened again to a little bit better of a crowd. March 1st, 1947. A little bit better of a turnout. Even the casino, it began making money, which was cool. But his mob girlfriends, like let's say all his mob buddies, they agreed to have him killed because the guy wouldn't pay back his loans. So he kept putting them off, even though it was making money. You know, so they killed him. Done. June 20th, 1947. Again, you know, this is a brief history. There's a lot of stuff going on with what you can. You know, the Flamingo still stands there, actually. I know, Julian, you stay there. I've stayed there.
I like it there.
It is. You know, it's really, really cool. Again, some of the history of where Bugsy was involved. I hear a lot of it's, oh, Bugsy built this. This is a mob built. Nah, it really wasn't. There's more stuff in the beginning, and this is kind of where it started and kind of got squeezed out. But if you guys, if anybody has a chance to, number one, not only for the history, but it's a reasonable rated property as far as price. It's not too bad. Usually when I pull up stats, I can, you know, you can get a room from anywhere from like 50 to 70, you know, on a regular night. It's a perfect hub because it puts you right down there at Center Strip. Sometimes it goes a little bit higher depending on what goes on, you know, 130, 160 type thing. You know, but it's still stands there. It still has its history and, you know, it's kind of cool not to have not something blown up or torn down.
Yeah, literally. It's a nice spot because I like it, especially when we go to the events, because you're literally right in the middle of everything. Oh, and yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're going to go downtown, you're going to have to take an Uber or Lyft downtown anyway. So that's a given. Yeah, I do. I like it. It's not too old. It's not too new. It's not, you know, shady. I like it because, you know, again, I'm in the center of everything. All the foot traffic's going all around you. And of course, me, I mean, I stay busy watching that kind of shit. So, but again, like you said, from the comp rooms, I've never had a problem getting a room booked there. I've always seemed to have a good time.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
And when my wife, obviously, she has the better cards than of the two of us, but when she gets the room, we always get like some sort of mini suite or some kind of nice room. And again, we get the bookings up to a week, and we like it, and we make sure we capitalize on that because, again, being that we go and gamble, we want to make sure we're not paying for rooms, we're not paying for parking. You know, all that stuff's not worried about, and that's in the back of our mind. So, again, if you're a gambler, and there's plenty of other ways, too, to get your rooms comped and other ways like that. But, you know, on the gambler side of stuff, getting rooms there, the service, the people, and just a little tidbit. If you guys are checking into the casinos, I don't know if you know this, but anybody can walk into a VIP check-in.
And I did not
me
know
and my
that.
Wife, yeah, me and my wife always walk into the VIP check-ins, and here's what you say. My card wasn't working on the machine on the south check-in machines out there, and you can avoid the big long lines and walk straight. Even if you're a basic gold member, I've done it every time I go to Vegas. I walk into the VIP check-in, I say, hey, my card's not working at the self-check-in machine. All right, sorry, Mr. Romero, no problem. Let's go ahead and get you booked. Okay. And they're always nicer. They're always, hey, would you like a water? You're getting treated like, again, a 7-star is a diamond. And you're just a sucker. So you're going in, and if you're nice, you end up with a nice room. I've never had a complaint. You saw my room, Vegas, the last Vegas vacation. Yeah. It was one of the top rooms.
Had a great view, actually.
Great view. Yeah. I mean, smoking, 2 beds. I only needed one, and everything I needed. So again, it's all about being nice and knowing people and making sure you know little things like that. So
that is true. That is true. And I will say, when we went to Bally's in April for my birthday, it was really cool because we didn't go into the VIP, but they kind of ushered us in. It was a long line, and some gal just popped her head out and you know, did her hand wave to us when we went in there. They were looking at my ID. They ended up actually making. They go, oh, well, come back in 2 hours. We're going to have a surprise for you. You know, so we checked in the room, did our thing, ran around the floor, went back into the VIP check-in, and they actually had a little cake made from the one of the cafes there. You know, they said, happy birthday, Shane, on it, and it was like this little cake that I didn't ask for, but I thought it was pretty. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, every now and again, you get that personal touch, which is cool. And again, like Julian said, just don't be an asshole. You know, there was a guy 5 behind me that was so pissed off about the line. He stepped out of line to yell at a guy in the desk wondering why the line's not good. Just don't be an asshole. I mean, you know, it's not that hard to do.
When I was getting your – I didn't tell you this. When I was getting your room reserved at Bally's in Atlantic City, we were playing craps. And so the wife's like, hey, we're getting ready to go to the meet and greet. You should probably go check them in real quick. It's like, you know what? That's a good idea. So I went in. I was the one person in line, and of course, everybody else that's 7 stars kept walking up while I'm there, right? And so, like, 5 people, literally, Shane, 5 people. I'm the only one there, and as a spot opens up and the agent becomes available, somebody walks in 7 stars and walks right by me, and I'm like, fuck, right? And there's this guy that's watching the lines, quote-unquote, and he's just sitting there, and finally, after the 3rd person, I'm like, fuck, you know? Now, 4th person, again. 5th person, I'm finally like, all right, fuck this, you know, I'm going next, dude. I don't care how many 7 stars I have to stand behind. He's like, yeah, you'll be next, sir. And so I went up to the guy. The guy was super nice, like, you're right. I was like, yeah, I had to wait behind 5 people, you know. I mean, I understand the concept, but it's a little bullshit to just keep getting pushed aside for, you know,
right.
bigger people. I mean, it's 5 people. That's kind of ridiculous. And he was like, you know, I'm sorry. And I said, you know what? It's cool. Like, I'm not going to let that ruin my trip. I'm having a great time here. This is a great place. And he's like, are you having a good time? I was like, yeah, we're actually staying. We stay the night next door. We're going to be staying here tonight more than likely. And, you know, me and my wife are just loving it. He's like, well, I'm glad you've had a good experience. I'm glad, you know, you're smiling now. And you know, I think he was a little gay, but he's like, hey, whatever you guys need, you know, whatever you need, here's your room, here's your keys. If you need parking comp, whatever you need, man, you guys got it. I'm sorry you had to wait there. And again, just, you know, I went in frustrated. I had the little talk with the guy, and he was just, you know, trying to cheer you up and make sure you had a good time. And
that's cool.
It means a lot. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. There's something to be said about that, definitely. So awesome, man. Yeah. And the only last thing I have on the Flamingo, unless you have anything, Julian, is, and it sounds dumb, but one of my favorite acts, and there's another podcast that he does. If you listen to Piff the Magic Dragon, I know that sounds weird, but he's a guy from England that's actually a comedian, but he's a magician as well, and he wears this big, stupid outfit. But he actually plays at Flamingo. You know, he was the runner-up on America's Got Talent. He wasn't the winner, and he likes saying that. He was the second best, and that's why he's doing better than the winner, because the winner's not doing anything, as far as I know. But he's got a theater there that he does. And actually, he came to Spokane, and I watched him in Spokane. And again, if you like magic, it's funny, it's stuff. You know, the assistant's gorgeous, and it's a good thing. So yeah, they do things at Flamingo, too. So it's got a little bit of everything. I think they got an X show, too, this kind of a burlesque-ish type show. And then they also have a buffet and other things. I know Julian's had. You know, they've got a little bit of everything there, and they have a little habitat too, actually with flamingos, believe it or not.
I'm going to say it real quick on their gambling odds. I did look up craps real quick. On craps, they have 3, 4, 5 times odds on gambling on craps. And then on their blackjack tables, I found this pretty interesting. In their high limit room, their tables run from $100 to $10,000. Those are the limits, and the 6-deck shoes. But in the what's called the party pit, where, you know, they have women dancing and the dealers take their shifts and stuff, but they have 13 6-to-5 single deck tables in the party pit. at that range from $10 to $2,000. But geez, they also have 8-deck blackjack games that pay 3 to 2 for that range, the same table range from $10 limits to $2,000. So again, you have to know what you're playing get the better odds payout. So if you're playing on a 6-to-5 table, you're going to get, you know, a lot less payout than if you're playing on a 3-to-2 table. So, I mean, again, those blackjacks that you may not think it matters much, but, you know, at the end of the day, kind of adds up. So
pay attention.
It's
just
pretty neat because if you look out and just kind of watch and see the different tables, and like a lot of people are saying, I can't find 3-to-2. I don't know. You just have to look around. You have to look.
All right, awesome. So, yeah, that's Flamingo. Julian, you had some shit on emails, I think, on your side, right?
I do. I have an email here from a good friend. His name's Todd Gates. He's a really, really nice guy. I got to meet him at Vegas Vacation 4. So when he sent this story in, it was right before our Zorkfest trip. So, you know, I had to put it on hold. But, you know, I looked at it a couple times and I laughed my ass off because I could only imagine his reaction to everything. But I'm going to drop it on you guys right here. He says, this happened, I believe, in 2011. Me and my wife, Amanda, girlfriend at the time, were here in Vegas, and we are Vegas veterans. But we were hosting another couple. Let's call them Elvis and Priscilla, who are Vegas virgins. After a couple days, it became clear that the other couple weren't too thrilled with how expensive they thought everything was, so I suggested we head downtown, where our dollar would go a little further. In fact, my favorite dinner deal in all of Vegas was downtown at the California, at a restaurant that is sadly no longer there, Costa Pirate. Elvis is a former Marine, and me, I'm pretty much a cross between McLovin and Stu, the dentist from The Hangover.
That's bad.
My wife, however, is a massage therapist, so she's got arms, she's got shoulders, and she's got some guns. So the host at Pasta Pirate seats the four of us in a booth, and he starts looking us over. He looks at Amanda, myself, then he looks at Elvis and Priscilla, then back at us. He points at Elvis and says, in a broken accent, he protect her. And then he points to my wife and says, she protect him. Three of us got a good laugh out of that. Me,
that's funny.
I just had to sink my head slowly and smirk, nodding my acceptance of the reality that he had pointed out. In my defense, however, I'm also the guy who told the Deuce stories on the Faces and Aces podcast. Oh. So I think I've done my sharing of protecting her in Sin City. Yeah, that's right. He was talking
about that's cool. I remember. On the bus. Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
He says, the story doesn't really end there. However, my wife and I like to play games in Vegas we call Spot the Rental, a form of is she or isn't she a hooker? God, I'm loving this story.
I never
dude.
Even thought about calling it like
so
that.
Fucking great.
Spot the rental. Spot the lease option.
Okay. That's fucking funny. Says, my wife is a very good sport about this and probably actually spots more than I do. But mere moments after, I look to my left through the restaurant and I see two other couples seated a few tables away. Something seems awry. However, these girls are dressed very slutty with a couple of guys who look like they could just afford. So I give them a second look and they notice me and start eyeing me. Winking and giggling, I nudge my wife and say under my breath, check it out, definitely rentals. Then they start smiling and laughing, looking at me, and one of the girls was missing a tooth. And my God, total crack whore hookers. Rough looking girls. Then one of the girls looks back at me, lays down on the bench, part of the table up against the wall, and spreads eagle, showing all of her glory. Not too often in Vegas, I am speechless, but this was one of those moments.
Oh, my God.
He says, only in Vegas. Good luck with the podcast, guys, and enjoying the episodes thus far. Wow, dude.
That's can you imagine? Fucking funny. I couldn't even, I would just say, what if somebody did that to you and spray, boo! I don't even know what I would do. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't even know how to react. I think I'm, check please.
That, yeah, exactly. I'm going home. My appetite is completely ruined. I gotta do something else there. That's awesome, man. Cool. Thank you, sir, for writing that in. That's cool. I do remember now, off Aces and Aces, he was talking about that Deuce story, which is, for those of you, the Deuce is the bus that goes back and forth. you know, it's a good way to get around. But I'm sure, like, his story, sometimes it doesn't have the best clientele on it, maybe. That's what's going on. So, yeah, that's awesome with that email, man. I think you had something else we want to... I should have done with the confessions before, but you had a confession you and your wife were doing, or you...
All right, guys. So, yeah, my very first trip to Vegas, we actually, you know, this hearing this story from Todd really made me think, you know, I actually just thought of a really good confession of my very first trip. So when we went to Vegas for the first time, I went with two other couples. It was one that was my friends and one that was kind of my wife's friends. So what happened was is we got a Suburban and, you know, we're driving up and I'm in the back on a laptop. I was kind of streaming through a show, talking to a bunch of people, heading out to Vegas. It was really fun. Well, we get there and somebody says, hey, well, let's stop by Walmart so we could get some essentials. So we're like, all right, cool. No problem. We had everything we needed. So we kind of just hung out. We were going to hang out in the Suburban. We had just finished with In-N-Out. We were in the car for freaking 6 hours. We're already finally in Vegas. We just gassed up. We're like, all right, cool. Now we get to enjoy our weekend. We're going to have fun. So what happened was is both of the couples went into the store. We were kind of just sitting there and, you know, nothing to do. And, you know, we're talking about what we're going to do and we're having a good time. Well, she kisses me and, you know, I kiss her back and we just kind of went at it right there in the Suburban, in the parking lot at Walmart. And,
what are you, 19? Jesus, oh, guy.
We fucking went at it and we were done and we looked over at one another. We were laughing and laughing. We waited for the couples to get in the car and they just kind of, you know, they got in the car and nobody said
reeking
anything.
Of sex.
We didn't mention nothing, dude. We went to the hotel, went through the whole weekend, never said a word. And then finally, like a couple months later, my wife had mentioned something to her best friend. She's like, you remember Vegas when we stopped at Walmart? And she's like, yeah, why? She's like, I got something to tell you. And she told her, and she got the biggest kick out of it. You guys are fucking nasty. You guys are disgusting. I can't believe you guys. Oh, yeah. It's so funny. Yeah, but that was like
first hilarious
in our relationship. And again,
when it's fresh, man,
confessions come out, we ain't going to be afraid to let it out.
That's right. Yeah, that's awesome, dude. There's nothing wrong with that. I've got a couple confessions, too. We'll wait. Maybe we'll pitch it back and forth because we're trying to keep these episodes kind of under an hour kind of for you guys. But I've got a couple that fucking my Boy Scout skills suck, evidently. But that's awesome, dude. Went in Vegas. It's kick ass, man. So cool. Well, I think we covered kind of what
we
wanted.
Did you say Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts. Yeah, I was in the Boy Scouts.
Oh man, really tripping me out. I'm learning a lot about you. I heard the other podcast and I heard you were in speech team and now Boy Scouts. I'm learning a lot about you.
Yeah. Man. You know, what's funny is that I actually was in football, wrestling, basketball, and I hurt myself and I had to go speech and I figured out I was a better bullshitter than I was a fucking athlete. So here I am. So yeah.
And here we are.
Yes. And here we are. Exactly right. So that's awesome. Awesome. So yeah, I think that that kind of covers the bulk of what we want to do. Again, stand by towards the end. We're going to wrap this up. I'm going to do a little quick music bumper out, and then I'm going to throw interviews kind of towards the end, and that's what we're going to play because, you know, we've got all this stuff that we recorded, and we should use it, you know. So this actually is going to be with Eric Rosenthal. It's a short one, and then I think we're going to follow up maybe next episode with Michael Traeger. It's a little longer, but they're both really good, right. Good interviews and just nice to hear. Again, you know, this is – if you don't give a shit about Zorkfest, stopping now. If you do, you know, it's worth a while, and it really is worth a while because the good people and fantastic event and fantastic atmosphere that they put together. So so we're gonna close out. Yeah, I mean, I just got the love for the interviews, and Julian, if you want to cover how to get a hold of us again, and then we'll go forth.
Oh yeah, definitely, guys. Email us vegasconfessionspodcast@gmail.com. get a hold of us through our voicemail, area code 559-461-7488. You can find my buddy Shane. He's Shane Mills on Twitter. I'm Julian Romero 559 on Twitter. That's at Julian Romero 559 on Twitter. And definitely like and rate and review us on iTunes, guys. We really, really appreciate it. It helps spread the word and let people know we even are out there and we are sharing stories and this is what we want to do. But again, we want to make this an interactive podcast with you guys. We want to go back and forth with you guys. And again, we want to make stories with you guys. So every time we take a trip, be a part of it because it's going to be a blast.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for listening, guys.
Cheers.
too. You know what I mean?
Yes, sure.
The experience has been great. I mean, I'm super excited because, one, this is actually the first time me and Shane have been in the same room recording since we've started this podcast.
Which is sad in itself.
This trip has been so great to us. It's it's mutual.
But it's very nice of you to say, but you know, the reality is when we talk about, you know, the all these player? People coming from all over the country, yourselves included, right? Like Washington is, well, we've got people that came from London and Denmark, so maybe they came from farther, but within the you know, United States, I think you're the winner, right, Shane?
Hey, winner, chicken dinner.
Winner, chicken dinner. You came the farthest. You know, we were talking about it before. When you have something that you care about, and it's something that, you know, it's your passion, and people are willing to travel across the country to experience it and to be a part of it, it just means the world to you, right?
Yeah.
So just as you're saying thank you to me, I'm saying thank you to you. Right. This was an outstanding experience. Michael went above and beyond. You know, I literally had high expectations, but I would say it surpassed all of them.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, well organized. Yeah. Oh, everything to a T. Lunch, dinner. I mean, everything you needed. I mean, just papers and pencil and pins. I mean, whatever you needed to make sure you were there.
Because my wife ran out of stuff to write on. So when we was like, oh, that's cool.
I mean, but again, like this guy, when we were walking in this morning to the very first event at 8:30, me and my wife were walking in. She's like, babe, Shane's wife's here. And I'm like, oh, she fucking stayed, dude. Yeah. So, and it didn't take much convincing. But again, I was asking Vito's wife, how's your first gathering experience? What do you think of it? And she's just like, it's neat because it's like you guys all know each other,
right?
And when you guys get together, you guys just get to cut loose and be yourselves and hang out and enjoy each other. And if it's not the guys getting along, it's the wives hanging out. It's fucking fantastic. And again, it's cool to experience. And that's why I got into this. I know that's why I wanted to make sure, if we can, make this community grow, because we see the people that are involved. It's a great family.
So the funny thing is, you know, the miles, the frequent flyer miles and the points people, they have it's a different community.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you participate in that community, it's kind of the same thing where they have these get-togethers and people come in from all over the country.
Right.
And they're probably not as wild as some of the Vegas meetups that we've had, but it's the same thing.
Exactly.
It's the right like-minded people coming together looking to have a good time. So once we were able to kind of combine the two together, now it's not just the pocket of people that we all know.
Right.
There were other cool people that came in and joined the pack and were having a good time. And, you know, I guess not every group is perfect, but overwhelmingly, like, if you take any, you know, subsection of society, you have to expect there's gonna be a couple of assholes in that group,
right?
How many of them did you run into this weekend?
Not one.
So I don't know if it's like these people are raising their hand and saying, hey, listen, I'm not gonna be a dickhead, let's go out and have a good time,
right?
But it just kind of works out that way.
It does.
And what you said, you know, you look to your left, look to your right. Partnership, you know, you're building something. You know, in a lot of the seminars you did, and it all kind of cropped off that. You know, I've never, you know, I was in the Navy, been around the world, been different seminars, and I've had different things going on in my life. When I've enjoyed, what I haven't enjoyed, this by far has been a hands down community camaraderie based experience that I won't take for granted, and I can't. I just am amazing. I'm part of it.
Right.
I mean, it is.
It is really neat to see, you know, post little things on Twitter like, hey, we're hanging out with all these people, and to see people just.
It's almost like you're 10 years old on a walkie talkie.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in the cave.
It's super neat.
It's super neat.
Right.
So, but yeah, we just wanted to take the time and just, you know, first of all, say thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you.
You know,
yeah. Right? So, listen, I appreciate you guys, right? You know, I love what you do. But aside from that, you're just good people. Right,
we appreciate that.
A lot.
Yeah.
All right, so I mean, anything that we're doing that we can involve you in, I'd love to do that. And you know, let me know if there's anything I can do to help.
Yeah. By all means, like I said, the future's looking bright,
guys. If you're ever curious about Atlantic City,
I
recommend it. It's fucking a blast.
And it wasn't even on my radar or my wife's, but wow, we're looking out here at the Borgata.
and the resorts, and we're sitting in Bally's, and it's
we're sitting in a suite with three rooms that
pretty pretty amazing,
fucking phenomenal, pretty
amazing. So, yeah. Some about look to your left, look to your right. Yes, something sir. About said about that.
Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sir, thank you
so much, brother.
Thank appreciate you, guys. Appreciate you.
Puppy school love. You saw the twinkle in mine, and we both knew it was time to hold our breath. We got lost in a sea of love and lust with a galaxy of trust.
We were so committed
to each other like a muscle in a clam, to the movies, to the mall, glued together hand in hand. And we walked and ran through love land. Everything was fine until my baby took me for my very last time. Bang, bang, shoot me dead. Thought my baby loved me, but I've been misled. My, my, she sucked me dry. Now the little missus wants to say bye-bye. Was a king, now I'm wrapped around a finger like a diamond ring. The engagement ring,
right.
The wedding ring,
right.
The church bells ring,
oh.
And the supper ring. Oh, yeah. Understand I'm a man who believes in the glory of love. Shining back from the heavens above. I believe it's better to trust even when I'm wrong.
Be careful, you're my brother.
Than to let my fear drive me from the home where I belong.
There's a couch up at your mother.
She was my queen on reserve to protect and serve. Then she threw me a curb, scam, skimming, gold digging, kicked me to the curb. Bang, bang, shoot me dead. Thought my baby loved me, but I've been misled. My, my, she sucked me dry. Now the little missus wants to say bye-bye. Once I was a king, now I'm wrapped around a finger like a diamond ring. The engagement ring, the wedding ring. On the street, she's a cheat and a thief and a liar.
And everybody knows
that she's my light and my love and my hope and my only desire.
Your anger can't control it.
She broke my bank, then she took my car. That chick so stole my heart. Till death do you part, you should have known from the start. Bang, bang, shoot me dead. Thought my baby loved me, but I've been misled. My, my, she sucked me dry. Now the hoochie mama wants to say bye-bye. Once I was a king, now I'm wrapped around a finger like a dime.